atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for April the 3rd in the year of our Lord 2020. Hour 2 at 2 in the goal always to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. And I know some people are saying, Sam, if you're in such a hurry to get out the news, why do you just repeat yourself at the top of every hour? The answer is because each hour can sometimes run independently of one another. If you've got an hour to fill later, if I get sick in the middle of the show and have to, you know, do 1 hour live and 1 hour as a rebroadcast, or if something happened to the power, or, and if I put the second hour on and I don't even introduce it, you don't even know what date it's from, you don't know the relationship, you don't know which hour it was, so you could go back and maybe listen, like if we talk about this two-hour special broadcast, the panel, Sam Curt and the good Sheriff Richard Mack, you wouldn't be able to find the first hour because you wouldn't know when it was from, and you wouldn't, okay, you wouldn't know that it was the second hour, but now you know it's April the 3rd. It is the second hour, and so if you ever wanted to go back in the archives, you could put the 2 hours together and hear the complete broadcast. So we do that not really to repeat ourselves, but because it wouldn't be repeating ourselves if it was dealt with independently for any reason. So, you know, we're not really trying to just waste time. We are trying to be as, you know, appropriately managing our time the best we can. We are in a two-hour special broadcast. It's a roundtable, Sam Curt and the good Sheriff Richard Mack. And there was a two-hour and 17-minute press briefing President Trump did with Jared Kushner and Fauci and all these other people last night. And I basically listened to the whole thing and took notes because Kurt told me, hey, Sam, you got to get on this, buddy. You're not really up with what's happening. And so I have done my best to not only listen to it, but to take notes. And so we're breaking down my notes and talk about them. They're talking about claims of full and complete transparency. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. And I'll give you an example to make the point. How many deaths do we have worldwide from the coronavirus right now? Do you know, Sheriff?
I can't remember if it was 56,000. I think it was 56,000.
All right. How about you, Kurt? Do you know? I don't, by the way. This is not a big question.
Well, at least it's not one of your bear trap questions. So the
At least
one of the key things that I will throw in here, I don't know what the number is, but I do know this, that there are many of these people that have died that have had, other diseases. For example, if somebody's got diabetes and they go into the hospital and they also get coronavirus, did they die of the diabetes or did they die of that? If they had heart disease and diabetes and coronavirus, which one did they die
of? Well, you can ask that to Donald if you can call him, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. And
your point's well taken.
Of course, he's the one figuring that out.
Well, I don't think he is. I think Fauci is.
Well, I think it's not just him. It's, each government or each hospital's got to make
Chinese
those
do it
calls,
themselves?
Yeah,
you mean the guy on the ground that
so.
Signs the death certificate or the person on the ground that was the physician that reports whatever? They're the ones that decide. So we don't even know. There's no pattern or standard of how it's happening.
Great point.
And your point's well taken. When you run around and go, so many deaths, so many deaths, so many deaths, so many deaths, and I hear that every hour of every day, pretty soon I just get this whacked out view about reality. That isn't transparency at all. Secondly, if you don't compare it to flu numbers or the closest, and they say, oh, that's apples and oranges, Sam, you can't do that. Okay, well, what are you going to compare it to? You compare it to whatever you want. But if we don't have a comparison, whenever they give you reality of numbers of something, they give you kind of an average or a maximum and a minimum or some kind of reference point by which to gauge the discussion. Have they done that, Sheriff? Do you have a comparison on the other side to compare this against anything?
No, and I do want to say one other thing that we ended with last hour, Sam, that I totally disagree with the military being involved in any of this.
Well, you just said right at the end of the last hour that you guys thought he was doing great and it's perfect and good.
No.
No? Okay.
I agree with Kurt on the dose of reality there. However, I would tell the president the military cannot be involved in this. The National Guard, maybe, as it showed, National Guard members.
Wouldn't that be up to each state to use the National Guard?
I don't get that. I don't get that. Why National Guardsmen would need to be in Walmart stocking shelves?
Well, they don't need to be. But I'm just saying the state could use them on a state level if they felt like there was a need for some of their services, right?
Correct.
But we've just changed the whole discussion Completely different from what we're talking about, though. But I agree with that point.
Right.
All right. Go ahead.
But this other stuff going on with the keeping track of the numbers, I just, every time they show the number, and I put it over to Fox because they usually put it up while they're having interviews and whatnot, so I tried to see that. But I really believe it was, the last number was 56,000.
All right, well, now we're saying that China's not reporting their numbers correctly at all, but right. Yet we're willing to double down and say that that worldwide number, you got to count on that, Sam.
Right.
How does that work? I'm kind of retarded. That doesn't work for me. Hey, the biggest country on the face of the earth, at least in terms of population, is China, right?
I agree with what you're saying.
And they're fudging their numbers for sure. We caught them at it. The CIA is going to double down and say they're not being honest. The dishonest communists over there. But yet the worldwide number, hey, that you got to promote that as the reality check. How does that work in transparency, Kurt?
Where the doctor whistleblower is now. China got rid of him.
He's dead, yeah.
Dead. He's probably been murdered. And so, yeah, it's
well, some say he died of the coronavirus, too. How ironic. He was trying to stop the deal and whistleblow, and then they basically ignored him, and then he died. What do you think of that for transparency, Kurt? See, I have a problem with this. I also have a problem with, we're not going to compare it against reality. How many people die from alcoholism? How many people die from drug overdoses? How many people die from abortions, not only in the United States, but worldwide, or from the flu, or from heart disease, or from diabetes, as Kurt wisely points out? Or we got to have some comparison. How many people die from car wrecks? How many people die in their sleep? How many people die from guns? How many? Well, you got to put this in perspective. I'm not saying that it's okay for all these deaths or that I'm okay with it. But I'm saying when you have 7 billion people on the planet, and then let's just say there's 50-something thousand deaths. I'm not saying that's good, but I am saying you got to put that in a perspective. How many people just die normally every day in the world? Like just due to natural life and death, right?
To answer that, Joe Kovacs at WorldNet Daily's got this headline, shocking list of what's killed the most people in 2020. Top of his list is basically 9,900,000 by death by abortion, deaths attributed to
now,
starvation.
Hold on, did you hear one word about we got to stop abortions last night? It's killing way more people than the coronavirus by far. In fact, we ought to not let anybody travel because abortions might occur.
No, but what we are hearing is that states that are saying, hey, we're not going to have these elective abortions during this because of this problem with people getting together. Then you got federal judges, at least certain ones of them, saying, no, we can't stop abortions. And then, for example, he says deaths attributed to starvation, 2.4 million. You got cancer deaths, 1.9 million. Smoking related deaths, 1.1 million. Alcohol related deaths, 581,000. Yeah.
Worldwide?
Yes.
So it's a worldwide annual number. And I'm just saying everything that you've mentioned so far, the top, 10 things? How many did you go through? We're not even a tenth of that for the quote coronavirus deaths yet. Okay, it's
exactly.
Insane. And unless you put this in perspective, I'm just running around going, oh my gosh, if I even walk out of my house tomorrow, me and my whole family are going to be dead. I mean, everybody's dying of this thing almost. Without this reference point, you just feel like, oh my gosh, it's not transparent at all to just put these numbers out over and over and over in a vacuum. I reject that whole reporting scenario. Of course, they would say that I'm not worthy of reporting, Sheriff.
Yeah.
I'm not a real news guy. They are. They're the news guys. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, how do you know? I mean, okay, we're going to be transparent and we're going to put out these numbers. Where did they come from and how did you verify any of them?
You didn't and you don't and you can't and you won't. But, of course, you bring that up, you must be some kind of a conspiracy nut. What are you, anti-government? You're on the watch list, aren't you? It's that kind of deal. All right, so let's go on with some of my notes here, though. Military government's building all these hospitals, doing all this. I reject this completely. And I get that Kurt's saying they're not, really building all kinds of buildings overnight. I understand all that. I'm just saying I don't really like the military being in charge of my health care. All right, the next one is government passing out medical equipment. We're talking huge numbers of products. So they went over and over and over. President Trump did it. Jared Kushner did it. And they're telling you how many masks and how many ventilators. I mean, they're just passing out government control supplies like candy, Kurt. So not only are they passing out the money like candy, but they're passing out supplies like candy. Government's literally commandeering the whole supply chain. Your response?
Well, basically, I think yesterday or maybe the day before, the Washington Post piece says, hey, the government stockpile is almost empty. So in other words, it's a way to slam the president. And yet his response was, we're not keeping it in a stockpile. We're getting it to the hospitals. That's why we don't have a big stockpile. And, it's all political. In other words, if you look bad politically speaking, then you're not going to get voted in, and then you can't do things like, get the right judges in and get these different other things done.
So, see, I don't look at it as political. I look at it as on principle. I say, does the government have the authority to, one, stockpile all this stuff, and two, literally take control of the supply chain and then buy these resources and then pass them out at my taxpayers' expense? See, I look at it as a principled-based discussion, not a political one, and not a re-election.
Well, I do, too. But I can tell you this, that the last time I got elected was at BYU, like 40-something years
ago. And I've never been elected, to make your point. So there you go.
I never got elected after that. And, at least the president ran for office one time, and he knows how to get elected.
Now, Sheriff, what do you say, though? I'm basically pushing back against the government literally stockpiling and then passing out and buying with our tax dollars or with printed money or whatever money, and then literally taking control of the supply chain. I have a problem with that.
Well, this whole brainwashing that we have unlimited money is what really worries me.
All right, we'll talk about it.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, so we're talking about this massive press briefing. We've never seen one like it in the history of our country. We've never seen lockdowns like the history in our country. We've never seen the spending of money and the redistribution of wealth in a socialist agenda in our country like we've seen now. But I have a problem with the military taking over the health care. They promoted that big time as if it was normal and acceptable. But then the government's passing out medical supplies and equipment in huge numbers of products and literally taking control of the whole supply chain. Now, if that's not bad enough to add insult to injury, the next statements out of their mouth shocked me to the core. Government's going to help the world with medical equipment, ventilators, etc. We got to pass our products out to the world, Sheriff, because we want to be good humanitarians or good, philanthropists or I don't have a problem with that being done on a charitable basis in the private sector, but I have every problem with governments doing that, stealing my tax dollars to do it. But don't worry, Sam, we'll backhandedly give you a token, a little bit of money. We'll put you and your children in debt forever, never to return. At the same time, don't worry, though, we'll pass this product out to the world and you get your check and shut up, buddy. I'm not comfortable with any of that. How about you, Sheriff?
No, it really concerns me. In fact, it scares me. And the mentality of it, as we said right before the break, that we have this brainwashing going on, that we have unlimited money in Washington, D.C., that absolutely is a nightmare. And it's, I believe, Ron Paul was correct. He came out and said that's what caused this. It wasn't the coronavirus. It was our overspending in the Federal Reserve and the dishonesty with fake money and paper money. And I am telling you right now, if you wanted to see something that's really weird and that's also just absolute startling, is the price of silver. Because gold and silver always go way up in times of uncertainty and international turmoil.
Well, it is going way up, Sheriff.
Gold really isn't. It was about this before. It's been up to 1,600. Even without this going on, it's been up to 1,900 just 5-6 years ago. Silver was up to $49 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, but silver spot is about $14, and you can't hardly buy it for $24.
You can't even manufacture it for that price.
Right, that's right. Yeah. All right, so, Kurt, what do you want to say about this, though? I have a problem. We're going to not only control the supply chain, pass out products like candy.
Well, those are private businesses, though, Sam. How is it that we're saying we don't have a government manufacturing company?
I know, but all we got to do is use the PDA. The Defense Production Act, or whatever you call it. What's that thing called?
Well, I understand that. But they're right now, they're complaining that 3M has been sending masks to foreign countries.
Yeah, you got
to
stop that. 3M's criminal.
I know. They're trying to make that look like a crime. That's called free trade.
Yes, it is. In fact, they backed that for literally decades, this free trade. Now they're acting like it's a criminal enterprise.
Well, of course.
But what if every country had the equivalent of this, you know, Defense Production Act, and were to force companies to do this? Where would 3M be as an international enterprise? You'd have every country literally controlling whatever factories and whatever infrastructure that is available to 3M as a private sector company. Literally, the company would be sliced and diced based on, quote, nationalism. And then this global company would be taken over and controlled by each faction. And then these countries would be at war over the who's got the strongest, you know, Production Defense Act, or whatever you call this thing. It's just insane. But what do you say? We're going to literally pass these products out around the world now that we got control of the supply chain, Kurt. And it's benevolence at its best, right?
Well, when I listened to the last, I think some was even mentioned the day before or previous days. But when I listened to the president talk about this, but what I got was, for example, let's say it seemed like he even mentioned that Italy had sent some different things over to us, and that we were sending certain things that we had extras over to them. You know, and when I hear that kind of thing, like, for example, the ventilators thing, he says we're gearing up to produce a lot more of these, and it's hard to get them done. And, you know, before you know it, hey, we'll have a lot more of them, and we can help, you know, our friends in the world. I don't see that as being a negative. Now, I do have a problem if we're wasting money and that kind of thing. But when we have many companies as well as, you know, good people, you know, jumping in to help out, for example, the president and his campaign has literally, for example, they've been buying anonymously buying meals and donating them to hospitals across the country. Most people don't know about that. But I don't, you know, I mean, I think that charitable acts, forced charity is not the right way to do
okay,
it.
And that's where my rub is with this thing. If we want to say that these private companies can distribute products around the world, and if we want to say that, you know, hey, we, for example, the example they used last night would be the example that I would use, Kurt. They talked about Russian planes came and landed with a bunch of medical supplies, and Vladimir Putin said, do you want these supplies? We have some extra. Donald would like to help. And President Trump said, I could have said no, or I could have said yes. And of course I said yes. And then the reporter, kind of an idiot's like, well, don't you feel like, you know, she didn't say it this way, but basically, don't you feel like you're in bed with the Russians, or you'll be compromised if you take that? And Donald's like, not in the least. Yeah, I agree with President Trump on that, and I don't have any problem sharing around the world, except when you have governments controlling and battling over supply chains as they carve up global companies. At some point, there becomes a, as you wisely point out, hey, we're for charity, but when charity becomes forced, it's a problem. And when I hear that, you know, the government's going to be making supplies available around the world through the government, I kind of start to think more of the latter than the former, to make the point. Now, it turns out that President Trump got tested again. None of us can get tested, of course, but Donald got tested again, and of course, he's negative. So I think that is something to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate anybody that's negative. So that's good news. 1.3 million tests have been performed. 245,000 people in the United States have tested positive, and just about 6,000 deaths. We literally have more abortions than that almost every day, Sheriff. Not every day. I would say every week, probably.
Yeah, no kidding. And, of course, that is a constitutional right that has to be respected. No other constitutional rights are being respected, but the one to kill babies in the womb. Absolutely.
And fund it with our tax dollars, too, because everybody's getting a bailout, including the abortion mills there, the murder mills and stuff like that.
You talked about prayer and God, and that there was no mention of that this time, nor of taking vitamin C and vitamin D and getting some sunshine and exercise. That really worries me, the part that we have not repented as a nation of the crimes and sins that we've committed. Abortion has come up in my mind throughout this whole thing.
I couldn't agree more. That was not mentioned once last night. Repentance was not mentioned. God was not mentioned. Prayer was not mentioned. The rejection of abortion was not mentioned. In fact, then Mike Pence took over because Donald had to leave for a little bit. During the press briefing, it was so long, Donald couldn't even stay the whole time. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, so Donald bails.
It was too long.
Of course. But anyway, President Trump came back. But while Mike Pence was up there, I usually like Mike and think he's a pretty faith-filled guy. I think he's pretty reasonable a lot of the time. And I really like Mike Pence in many, many ways. But here's what he said coming out of the gate that really, really concerns me. And so I wrote claim. So Mike Pence made this claim. We just need to figure out how best to receive the health care that every American is entitled to receive. So all we got to do, Sheriff, is figure out how every American received the health care they're entitled to receive. I don't know about you, but that seems to me like the most liberal Democrat talking right now.
Sounds like Barack Obama.
Or even worse, Bernie Sanders, right? I mean, that's like a one-size-fits-all healthcare. How are you going to back out of that when you say, we're going to just figure out how to let every American get the healthcare they're entitled to receive? What a shocking statement.
This is living proof how conservative Republicans are chasing after the Democrats.
All right, Kurt, you want to respond to this one?
If right after he said that, he would have said, look, we found out that the best way to deliver the best health care is through the private sector. And when government stays out of it, stays out of the way, and lets the private sector and the American free enterprise system deliver products and services to the American people, we've found that to be the best way to get the services to the people that the American people are entitled to receive, then he would have been just right.
You're exactly right. The problem is he didn't say that. And so I'm saying my big
You already said the thing was too long, so he couldn't really say all that.
Oh, no, but he just doubled down. He sounded like Bernie. I almost thought it was Bernie till I had to realize, oh, this is Mike Pence here. Okay? Then Jared jumps on there and makes another outrageous claim. Here's what Jared said. Government is doing what we have never done before. Well, you comfortable with that?
Well, that's for sure.
I'm not comfortable with statements like that, though. Maybe you shouldn't be doing it because maybe it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
But then they had more government promotion of government resources being pushed out in record ways, controlling the supply chain and record numbers of products. More promotion of that as if it was a wonderful thing.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A first coronavirus-related economic stimulus bill is still in the pipeline. It's been approved by lawmakers, signed by President Trump, but a lot of the benefits are just starting to flow. But Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says discussions have begun with congressional leaders on a second such bill that would focus on infrastructure.
We'll continue to have those conversations. So we expect there will be more bills, and we think it is a great time now to invest in infrastructure.
Russia has been portrayed as one of America's biggest enemies, but it is stepping up with a plane full of critical medical supplies that have arrived in New York City, where the coronavirus has been hitting especially hard. The supplies include protective gear, masks, and ventilators, and antiseptics. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I have a compromised immune system, so I've been taking the 3 veggie and 3 fruit for 2 years, and I have not gotten sick. It's unbelievable. I feel like a normal person. I'm not tired. I don't wake up tired. And it's just amazing to me that there's such a difference.
I don't get sick. Everybody around me got the flu this year. My wife had it. My grandkids got it. And I haven't gotten sick at all. My energy level is better. Body aches and pains, I just don't really have them anymore. The pills are incredible, and they're doing me a world of good. So thank you very much for that.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Governors are on the front lines of the coronavirus outbreak response with new developments in 2 states. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been resisting a statewide stay-at-home order, saying that more than half of the cases are in 3 South Florida counties.
I'm going to be doing an executive order today directing all Floridians to limit movements and personal interactions outside the home.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has updated his plans, too.
We're preparing for a 2/3 increase in our hospital bed capacity in this state.
L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti recommends everyone in his city wear a mask to combat the virus.
The U.S. Border Patrol stopping a major human smuggling effort. It happened earlier this week at a checkpoint north of Laredo, Texas, when a tractor-trailer failed to stop for inspection. Agents chased it and found 40 illegal immigrants in the trailer. This is USA Radio News.
All right, so government starting to control the supply chain for medical supplies. We used to depend on China way too much and depend on the world, the global infrastructure, way too much. But now you got more promotion of government resources, you know, put together. So they're talking about promotion of the air bridge, which is normally it takes 37 days for a product to come across on a boat, but they're going to do the air bridge, which means it's just hours. They got 1-2 flights a day going on. You know, I think that's actually a pretty smart move. And I commend them for thinking creatively and getting products wherever they need to be to care for people the best they can. I do support some of that. I don't believe that's tyrannical. I believe that's just saying, hey, what can we do to bring relief to people? I do support some partnership there because it's international in nature. You got a lot of other governments to deal with and things like that. And so there is a role for the president to play there. And I'm actually commending this, Kurt. I know I'm, you know, seem negative on everything, but I don't mean to be. This, I do think there is a governmental role, and I think they're showing tremendous leadership here.
Well, I agree with you, and when you look at this, you know, thing of where the Jared claims that government's doing what we've never done before, in some places, you know, at least some ways, for example, government being involved in things we shouldn't be doing, I agree. But if he's talking about, I mean, like in my lifetime, I've seen this deal. One of our good friends, Bert Smith, used to run and still does. His family has this big enterprise that many of the things that they sell there are basically a bunch of government I guess
it's surplus
products that the government bought before and never really used, spent all this money. And if Jared Kushner and the president I've seen them do, they're a little more careful or a lot more careful with government spending than I've seen in the past.
Like they used to be. Whether they are now or not, I don't know. But you're right.
Where they recommended, for example, that we get the embassy in Israel, and the one guy wanted to do it for $1 billion, and the president said, you know, he found a buddy that got it done for $400,000, and he said, we'll do it for $500,000, and that's good. You know, I mean, there's a lot of places where the president shined in that way.
Yeah, I agree. It's not part of the press conference last night, but your point's well taken, without a doubt. So I'm not sure if we're going through the press conference or if we're talking about all the benefits of Donald as president. There's a lot of benefits of Donald Trump as president. He's done a lot of good things in a lot of ways. There's no doubt about that. And like I said, in my lifetime, he's probably the best president we've ever had. I've said that on many occasions. WorldNet Daily even has a document highlighting all the good that Donald's done and the promises that he's kept and everything else. That's a wonderful document that grows daily, to Kurt's wise point. Now, then we got this. More promotion of the DPA. Everyone can get in the game and partner with government based on the DPA. Now, that's the Defense Production Act or whatever. Okay, I got a problem with pitching and promoting that everyone can get in bed with the government in a fascist scenario to create products. You could say, well, Sam, it's an emergency. We got to do that. We're calling for cooperation. I understand. But at what point do you say it's an emergency versus what point do you say, wait a minute, this is a fascist kind of a takeover. Everybody can get in the game like it's the way to go for the future. Maybe I ought to start a business and try to get in the game with the government and make sure I have guaranteed profits and success and funding. And at some point, that narrative isn't a good one to pitch. It's okay if you frame it properly, maybe to some degree, if you really could justify this as an emergency across the whole land without exception. But at some point, in my opinion, you cross the Rubicon there too, Sheriff.
Yeah, you really do. And whenever they say DPA, Defense Production Act, I go, okay. And I start to get really, my eyebrows start to go up and one goes down and I'm going, wow, how come? What is going on here? Sam, overall, the whole thing, the backdrop for all of this is that government is doing far too much that they are not authorized to do. And there just doesn't seem to be any limitation on the president or on his advisors or on the Justice Department. And on one conversation just yesterday or day before, they actually said, well, of course the president can do this because look what Lincoln did during the Civil War, suspending habeas corpus and arresting people for...
Yeah, and what will next presidents do because of what Donald has done? I mean, that logic is scary as all get out.
What a great president Lincoln did, and look what he did. And no, the brainwashing is that President Lincoln was a great president and what he did was correct.
All right, and so the next statements they made during this press briefing really scares me more because it shows where they're going. Again, if you want to be in the game and partner with government temporarily to put products in an emergency, okay, I get that there's some validity there. But the next statements scare me. They say this is, what we have is a nation at war. It's an invisible enemy. And the Defense Production Act is one of the most powerful weapons the administration can use. Now, I'm not really comfortable with using this DPA, this unconstitutional act that's been around from the 50s, literally forcing private sector businesses to get in bed with the government to create whatever products the government mandates based on an emergency. And then this idea that that's one of the greatest weapons the president has in wartime. Wait a minute. To me, we've completely gone off the rails, Kurt.
Well, I almost feel like I've been fighting a war ever since I learned about all these things, Sam. And so I guess we could say that, everybody's one person's war is another guy's party, I guess. But when you look at this, as the president calls it, this invisible foe, one of the main wars that the president has to deal with on a continual basis is the media and the deep state and the swamp and all that kind of stuff. And I think he's doing that more and more. At least I've never seen a president in the past send his sons, or at least have his sons be on a program with us.
You're right.
So I know that that's happened more. But I will agree that, you know, I think we got a bunch of other war powers that they've been in place for lots of years. And if we were following the Constitution, they wouldn't be in place.
I agree completely. Right? And I would also agree that, you know, the definitions are all over the map. But here's the problem. When you use a, you know, a declaration of an emergency, or you say what we are as a nation at war, and war powers comes to mind, and when you say it's the greatest, one of the greatest powers the president has as a weapon, these terms aren't subject to mine and your definitions. They're codified in regulation, codified in government code. And so when they use these words about weapons and wars and invisible enemies and things, you start to circumvent the Constitution and pretend that it's justified. Okay, so then they go on and next day, the president's signing orders. His whole day was spent signing orders. The DOJ is signing orders to do this, to do that, to do this. The president signing orders to do this. And I don't know, I have a problem with the president just signing order after order after order. There are checks and balances in America that are being circumvented by this, quote, emergency and this, quote, invisible enemy wartime discussion scenario that I'm not comfortable with, Sheriff. And I'm going to be the first one to stand up and say, wait a minute, we don't have a declared war. A declaration of an emergency is not constitutional. A temporary, maybe, if there's a real crisis temporarily. But at some point, you got to turn it back over to the checks and balances in the legislative bodies. And at some point, you can't just use these words that are codified into law that change the game and circumvent the Constitution. Pretty soon, for me bringing this up, they'll say, well, Sam, you're not an American citizen with due process rights. You're an enemy combatant in this war, my friend. And so nothing applies to you. That's the extreme view that I'm talking about, that they seem to be pitching at every opportunity.
Yeah, and then what do they say right after that, Sam, on your notes? It says, we are going to aggressively issue order after order. Aggressively issue order after order. How much further can they go with all these aggressive orders after orders after orders? Pretty soon...
Well, King Herod killed the babies. We can start killing the media that dissents.
Oh, my gosh. This is... Yeah.
And you could say I'm being extreme, but no, wait a minute. When you call it a national emergency, when you say we're at war with an invisible enemy, when you take over the supply chain of products, when you start locking everybody in their homes, and I agree that the governors are doing it, but at all levels, then the Department of Justice literally raided a warehouse using the DPA, the Defense Production Act. They literally raided a warehouse and within hours took the products and redistributed them. There's no due process there at all.
Yeah.
And then they got another order that he issued that says, don't sell around the world. Why don't you call the FEMA up and sell your products to them at a fair price? So now you got FEMA, an unconstitutional agency, competing with me as a private guy selling my products to the world? What do you think of that, Kurt?
I'll make one comment about the transparency thing. You know, I think it's interesting. We want them to be transparent, and then they come out and tell us in a 2-hour and 17-minute thing that we've got to watch and stuff. We tell them it's too long. We don't really want all that transparency. You know what I mean?
No, I want them to tell me the truth in transparency with their time, not the propaganda in their 2 hours and 17 minutes. And when you tell me we're going to aggressively issue order after order, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. I want to hear how you're obeying the supreme law that you've sworn to uphold with your 2 hours and 17 minutes. Hold on.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheep herder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
So when you spend 2 hours and 17 minutes and all I hear is violations of your oath of office, I think it's way too long. If you were to double down and tell me how you're keeping your oath and how you're obeying the Constitution and how you're deferring to the checks and balances that made America great and you're doing things to change the game to bring us back to the Constitution, I've got all the time in the world for you, baby. But I'll prove it, and here's the point. When Donald Trump does something good, I do my best to praise him and give him credit for it. And they made one statement that I disagree with. We're issuing order after order. I got a problem with that. That's not the proper role of the president. But on the other hand, President Trump said this, and I completely agree. We are way too dependent on the global supply chain. Amen to that. President after president have betrayed us in these free trade agreements that Ross Perot stood up against and we've been standing up against for literally decades. Donald Trump is changing a lot of that, and he's highlighting that we're way too dependent on the global supply chain. And I think the president's right on this one big time, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more.
Sheriff?
Yeah, I think that's one where we can all agree, and that's a pretty easy one to agree on.
But I'm just saying, we got to give them credit for it. They talked about it and made a point of it, and good for them for doing so. And that's my point. I want them to do those things. There's a lot more of them they can do, and I've given them plenty of suggestions, too. Donald Trump then claims that the federal government is a backup for products and services behind the states. So you first go to your state government, then you go to your federal government as a backup. I don't see constitutionally that anywhere. Do you, Kurt?
As far as the Constitution going and saying, that the states back up the federal government.
No, the federal government backs up the states.
Well, I know that the states created the federal government, not the other way around. And so, at least I would say that the states have a role and the federal government has a role, and it'd be nice if they'd follow it.
Yeah, and so Donald's saying one of the roles of the federal government is to back up the states with products and services. I don't agree.
Well, just like in my neighborhood, if one guy's got four hoes and the other guy's only got no hoes and he needs a hoe for his garden, then I can see, the one guy with the extra hose sharing it with the other guy. If the president's saying basically, hey, if you guys have, let's say you're California and they got a whole bunch of those masks that they bought during the last bunch of fires and stuff, wouldn't it be nice if they'd go ahead and contribute those if they had them there in stockpile? For a thing like this, and I think the president would agree that he'd do the same thing if the states needed it.
Yeah, of course.
So
the point, though, is the government's
solution.
Role to have this backup products and services support for the states, and I don't really see constitutionally where that's really a role of the government to be a backup for these products and services for the states. I don't really see that constitutionally anywhere is my point. I agree that if I got five hoes and Kurt wants to borrow one, hey, that's good. I get it. I agree. But that's a different discussion than government having this role that's not constitutionally defined or created or authorized at all that I can see. Now, Mike Pence again doubles down and says something that shocks the heck out of me. I've lost a lot of respect for Mike Pence listening to this 2 hour and 17 minute interview. But here's what he says. No American will need to worry about the cost of testing or treatment. The government's got it. They'll cover the cost, Sheriff.
Yeah. This whole nanny state socialistic thing that's just really taking over, it really reminds me of FDR. Everybody's hurting, so I'm going to offer a big, fat, socialistic solution. Everybody bought it. Everybody I mean, history still says that FDR was one of the best presidents because he handed us this New Deal on a silver platter. We bought it. I really believe that FDR made everything worse with his New Deal. But history doesn't say that at all. And I still see where the best president of the United States, where they're listed, is in history was Abraham Lincoln. You know, I still think in a lot of ways he was a good person, but I think the results of what he did were horrible, and we're talking about the same thing now. And we're using his model of being able to destroy the Constitution and individual rights as a justification for what we do today. And the thing that keeps coming to my mind also, Sam, every time you want to know the truth, well, don't forget what Jack Nicholson taught all of us. You can't handle the truth. And that's exactly what the government is doing. They are saying to all of us, you can't handle the truth, so we're going to continue to lie to you.
And that's really one of my problems with this transparency discussion. Now, I'm going to point out what I would do if I were president. I would spend my, probably not 2 hours and 17 minutes or an hour every single day, I would probably spend my time with a whole lot shorter venues, but I would focus on how we're obeying the Constitution, how we're using the checks and balances to really promote the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're setting this up as a beacon, as a light on a hill to teach the nations of the world how to appropriately share authority, respect power, and literally obey the checks and balances. That's where I believe, look, whenever there's a crisis, whenever there's the crisis of the day, as Richard Mack wisely coined, actually that was in a court case. So, but anyway, whenever there's the crisis of the day, they seem to say, well, the Constitution's wonderful, Sam, but we're going to set it aside right now because it's crisis time. When we get back to normalcy, then we'll go ahead and, you know, be super constitutionalists, of course. I got a problem with that. I think the biggest time we need the checks and balances, the biggest time we need the Constitution and the vertical and horizontal checks on power, the biggest time we need to obey the Constitution is when there is a crisis. Because of the coronavirus, we need to double down and go to the Constitution more than ever, not circumvent it or pretend it doesn't exist or halt it or set it aside temporarily because of, you know, hey, the ends justifies the means or because of we got to act now or okay. The Constitution is the political supreme document designed to help us work through this in a way that does not change, fundamentally change America, that does not put government in control of us unnecessarily, that does not allow government to cross lines of authority, that does not, okay, the Constitution is the answer, and it's more the answer in the middle of any crisis. The bigger the crisis, the more the supreme law should be the answer, and the more the checks and balances should be followed. And the more, okay, I'm having a problem with the whole fundamental idea that because of expediency, we can set it aside. And by the way, we're super constitutionalists and we'll get right back to it, sir, after this commercial break and we rape your rights completely. Okay, I don't accept that at all. And that's the whole fundamental difference that I have here. If they came back and said, hey, we need to pray, we need to turn to God, we need natural health and healing, we're creating a round table of experts to be as transparent on this as we can be, we're following the Constitution, here's how I'm keeping my oath of office, here's what I'm asking Congress to do, here's what I'm asking the courts to do, here's what I feel like I have authority to do, break it all down. That's what we need to be turning to for these solutions. And if I were president, that's where I would go. And I would educate people on the checks and balances. I would educate people on my authority and what I can do. I would be putting a lot in Congress's court to work on and do. And I would be doubling down and telling you how I'm keeping my oath of office and what I intend to do to use this supreme law and turn to God, so the Constitution and God, to work through this crisis in the way the founding fathers intended. And I will not violate your rights in the process. And I will do my very best to use the blueprint given to us, specifically designed when a crisis occurs. Am I crazy, Sheriff, or does that seem like a reasonable way to move forward?
No, the only thing I can say to that, Sam, is wow, that was an amazing suggestion. as to what the president should be doing. That was wonderful, Sam. That was
by heavens, I've got an oath, and I intend to keep it, and I demand everyone else keeps their oaths as well. Yeah. We're going to respect the new process of law. We're going to give you the best guidance we can give you, the best intel on the ground we can give you. We're going to leave it up to the states and to the people respectively based on the 10th Amendment. We're just going to use this blueprint, baby, like you've never seen before. Get on board or get the heck out of the way, people. Come on.
Right.
Okay, that's what I would be doing. Kurt, do you want to respond to this?
Well, just real quickly.
Sure.
Dr. Stephen Smith, founder of the Smith Center for Infectious Diseases and Urban Health in East Orange, New Jersey, said the remarkable results he has seen in his coronavirus patients using a combination of anti-malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine, and antibiotic azithromycin marks the beginning of the end of COVID-19 pandemic. Appearing on Fox News, Ingram Engel, on Wednesday night, Smith said not a single patient has been treated.
The
combination over a five-day period has had to be on a ventilator. These are working every time, Sam, and I highly suggest that both you and Kurt watch Ingram tonight.
I'm already all familiar with it all. There are several doctors making the same claims, and I support them and agree. And that's why I'd set up a roundtable of truth tellers and transparency to talk about this. I wouldn't run anything through this whacked out Fauci guy. I just wouldn't do it. What do you think of my proposal, though, Kurt? I don't want to be the guy guilty of criticizing the president.
Well, Sam, now let's get. I really want a copy of what you just said to put in our. I hope you can send me a copy of what you just said.
Do you want the audio or do you want it transcribed into text?
Transcribed.
All right. So, Kurt, what do you think of my proposal, though? I don't want to be the guy that criticizes and then doesn't have a solution. I want to be the guy that doubles down and says, hey, this is where I see the problems, but this is where I see we should be going, and here's how and why and who and what and where. I want to be the guy that provides a way forward, not a guy that complains.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam. I mean, so I don't know what else to say except for, that's right. And that's one of the main things we do this for, is to hopefully provide solutions to the problems that we see.
Now, I hope this 2 hours of me taking notes on this thing wasn't a bear trap for Kurt. It was intended to really generate thought and really encourage people to look to the solutions. That is God, family, and country. And when it comes to the country, it's the supreme law of our land. Okay, and when it comes to leadership, we need to obey these principles, not set them aside. Okay, the more the crisis becomes crisis level or whatever you want to say, the more we want to set aside everything that we hold dear. But don't worry, we're real super, super freedom-loving constitutionalists. We'll get right back to it after this commercial abuse. No. These documents, these guidelines, these oaths of office, they're all designed to, when a crisis occurs, to make sure we don't get out of bounds. That's what they're designed for. Why don't we use them? And who's talking about the Constitution be the blueprint for how to deal with the coronavirus or how to deal with the next crisis of the day, whether it be war and real war or whether it be the coronavirus, whether it be finances, whether it be invasion at the border. I don't care what the crisis is, whether it be constitutionalists or teaching the people and we got to stop them. I don't know, but we ought to use the blueprint for liberty. We ought to use the supreme law as our guide. That's the template, baby. What do you think of that, Kurt? I don't hear anybody saying that kind of stuff. Do you?
Well, it's good to hear it from you, Sam.
The closest person I could see that even gets kind of close to this would be as Richard Mack says. Laura Ingraham's doing a good job. So is Tucker Carlson to a great degree. But, they're not saying what I'm saying, but they're a whole lot closer. We've got to really teach this. We've got to really focus on this, and we've got to provide this leadership. For example, when are we going to get the Get Back to Work campaign underway? When's Donald going to be like, we got to get people back to work? We're going to go ahead and start this way, and here's how we're going to do it, and we got a plan. Where's that plan? I could draw one up in an afternoon, Sheriff.
Well, make sure you give me that, Sam, because we're putting that together for our CSQA proclamation.
All I'm telling you is we got to get the Get Back to Work campaign done ASAP, or else they're going to have to do another $6 trillion bailout. How many weeks did they say they planned for, Kurt? 10 weeks?
Yeah. Bail me out, baby.
Is that
I
how
don't
many
remember
weeks?
The number.
All right, you can scroll back between
it
that 2-hour and 17-minute deal, and you can, I think they said 10 weeks, but, I'd have to be refreshed. I didn't write that down. Too many things to write down. I was writing as fast and furious as I could, and I was horrified the whole time. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. Using the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, is our answer, baby. Let's talk real transparency. Let's get it done. Maybe Donald will come on the show. Donald, 866-986-NEWS, buddy. Liberty Roundtable. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.